Beloved congregation, on this Ascension Day evening, I ask your attention for Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, as a starting point for this evening. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. That's our text among many others this evening. The theme is the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Children, while it seems very obvious where he ascended to, we still want to spend a little time answering the question, where did Jesus go? Where is he now? And secondly, how can we understand that? That he is in heaven, and at the same time, here. And then thirdly, what are the benefits of this ascension for the Lord's people here on this earth in this time? So first, where did he go? So after the resurrection, he appeared many times to his disciples, but he didn't dwell among them like he did before. He wasn't preaching anymore. He wasn't doing any more miracles. He wasn't casting out demons, healing people. And now it's 40 days since the tomb was opened on resurrection day and he arose, and the time has come for the Lord Jesus to depart from this earth. And we read from Acts chapter 1 that he was there near Jerusalem, giving his disciples their final orders. He promised them the power of the Holy Spirit would be given to them, and that they would testify of him in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the whole world, actually. Acts 1 verse 8. And what a weighty message this is, isn't it? It's the final will and testament of the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord Jesus was taken up from earth before their eyes. Slowly he went up. And the disciples are amazed. They're gazing after their master. They'd seen so many miracles. Jesus had often done unexpected things in their presence. They'd been amazed at his resurrection, but now he's rising up before them in their sight, and then a cloud comes between them and he's hidden from their sight. You know about Elijah, the Old Testament prophet, he went up into heaven in a fiery chariot. Lazarus went to heaven. The angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. But that was only his soul. And he was carried. But the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, rides himself in majesty. He rises up. And they saw it with their own eyes. They weren't imagining things. And the angel even told them that the very same way you saw him rise, that's how he's going to come back again. Jesus went up with his glorified human body, with his pierced hands and his pierced feet. And as Christians, we receive this as a fact by faith from Holy Scripture. We see it as the fulfillment of Psalm 24 and Psalm 68. And what an exaltation this was for the Lord Jesus. He goes over from the sin-cursed earth to a holy, pure heaven. He has a rest after the battle, and he has a royal homecoming of the King of Kings. Oh, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ has much to say to us. I think of a believer now, knowing I am a sinful person, and I'm clinging to the Lord Jesus Christ with a true faith, and what great comfort I may draw from the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. Because first of all, it tells us that there is indeed a heaven. There's a real heaven. There's not only an earth here that we experience now and where we must bear our cross, but there's a heaven where eternal rest is. Some people call this earth a valley of tears because many times there's so much weeping on this earth. We have to be sure that we're careful that we don't say there's nothing good on this earth because the Lord gives many, many blessings here. But all those blessings do not remove the sorrow and the grief that's on this earth. And yet, though there is much sadness and many tears, this earth is not hell. A true believer does not wish to always stay here. Earth is not our last dwelling place. The whole creation now is groaning because of our sin. And we have to deal with sin inside of us and all around us. And a Christian person in his right place is swimming against the stream, swimming, as it were, upstream. So what a great comfort it is to know that there is a heaven as opposed to this sin-filled earth. And where is heaven? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us where it is. But we do know that it is the place where the triune God lives, where the souls of all those who are saved and have died are praising and thanking God forever, where the angels are singing right now, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Jesus speaks of heaven as my Father's house, a place with many mansions or rooms, but much is unknown about heaven. But we do know it is a place of rest, a place of undisturbed blessedness. God fills that place with His glory and with His love and with His presence, and God is praised there. And the presence of Almighty God is a spring of joy. Heaven is where Jesus is now. The very presence of Jesus makes heaven, heaven. And one day, dear believers, we shall see Him in His splendor, in His glory, and in His beauty. Yes, there is a heaven. And there is an ascension. There is a way from this sinful earth to heaven. Heaven would mean nothing to us if the doors were closed eternally. And the Lord God did close heaven at the time of the fall, but it's been reopened by the Lord Jesus Christ. Open the gates, and the King of glory shall come in. There is an ascension, and not only for the Lord Jesus Christ, but for all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In heaven, there's a place being prepared for believers. Jesus is there, and He continues there in our behalf. The Lord Jesus didn't go to heaven to rest. He didn't say when He got to heaven, "Now my work is all done. I have nothing more to do. I'm finished with all those people on earth now." No, He is gone to prepare a place for us. And we don't know how. But as believers, we know Jesus did not leave His disciples behind as orphans. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you may know that He is thinking of you right now. In all your work, in all your struggles, in your weariness, in your sorrows, in your disappointments, in your discouragements, He knows you. He knows what's going on. And you know what? He's preparing a place for you. And when you come to the end of your journey, you will go to that place, the very place that Jesus has bought for you and is preparing for you right now. And there He is for your interest and for your good. And you may sometimes wonder, well, why doesn't He just take me there now? Well, you're not quite ready yet. This place is not quite prepared yet. When you are ready, he will take you to be with him where he is. That's what he prayed for in John 17. That they may be with me where I am. And that prayer is being answered. But you're not quite ready yet. But he's preparing you and preparing your place. At the same time, we must add, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a place prepared for you too. And it's not with Jesus. It will be an eternal damnation forever and ever, away from the presence and the love of God. So this evening on Ascension Day, we are called once again to come to the Lord Jesus Christ while the door is still open. Jesus, where did he go? To heaven. And now there's something that we need to try to understand. There's a problem. And here's the problem for us humans and our human reasoning. Jesus told his disciples just before he rose, I will always be with you, even to the end of the world. Now all the disciples died before the end of the world. But Jesus was not with them. He told them, I will be with you. And now he's gone to heaven. Did he break his promise? When the disciples looked around afterwards, he wasn't there anymore. When we look around, he's not here anymore. And see, it's matters like that that sometimes Satan can take and twist and pervert and make us doubt the truthfulness of God. He says he didn't keep his promise. You can't trust him. But you see, we can always silence Satan with the truth. We can throw it right back in his face and say, no way, Satan. Jesus is God and man. Jesus has a divine nature and a human nature. In his human nature, as a human, Jesus has gone to heaven. But in his divine nature, he is everywhere. Mr. Beakey read it from the Catechism in Lord's Day 18. With respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he's never absent. He doesn't forsake his people for a single moment. He's always here. He's always with us. And we can't fathom that as human beings because we are limited. We can only be in one place at a time. You can't be here and in your home at the same time. You can't be in Toronto and in Amsterdam at the same time. And see, Jesus' body has the same limitation as ours. His body can only be in one place at a time. It can only be in heaven right now. You think about it, sometimes in our spirit, we can be somewhere else. That happens during sermons sometimes, doesn't it? Right? Our thoughts are somewhere else. In our spirits, we're not even here. It can be thousands of miles away. We can be thinking of anytime about somebody somewhere else, and it seems like we're there with them, but we can't cause that person to feel that we are with them. A husband who loves his wife and is separated from her can take comfort. Oh, she's thinking of me. I know that, but that doesn't bring her there. So in spirit, we can be two places, but what we can't do, Jesus can. And he does. With his grace and his spirit, he is never absent. He is everywhere present. He's here right now. And he's in the other church where they're having Ascension Day service tonight. And he's in Holland, and he's in China and in Africa. Wherever his people are, that's where he is. Day and night, in sickness or in health, in sad times, in glad times, he's always with his people. Not a single one is ever forsaken by the Lord Jesus Christ, not even for one moment. If he ever forsook you for a moment, dear believer, how would you finish the race that's set before you? How could the martyrs face impossible suffering if Jesus were not with them? His grace is theirs. His majesty shields them from their enemy. And when the enemy, Satan, tempts us to think sometimes, God has forsaken me, or Jesus has forsaken me, then sometimes we think we would do so much better if Jesus were only here physically. If we could just talk to him. Or touch even the hem of his garment like the woman in the Bible did. How much better off we would be, we think. But don't believe it for a moment. If Jesus were on this earth, and I don't know how many billions of people there are, you think you would be one of the ones who could go and meet him? You couldn't even get close to him. And it may be just for just one little moment, some people think if Jesus was still on earth in human form so that everybody could see him and speak with him, many more people would believe in him. That's what somebody just told me recently. If Jesus were here and I could see him and talk to him, then I would believe him. And thousands, they say, who now turn their backs on him would bow before him. Many people who say they would believe if they could would be cured of their unbelief if Jesus were only here. What a blessing that would be, they say. But it wouldn't be. A Jesus who is here physically, that's not a blessing. Sometimes children dream like that, and it sounds so good, it sounds so reasonable and logical, but it's false reasoning. Because the matter that's most important is faith. When Jesus was on this earth, did the great majority of the people believe in him? No. It was a very small minority. They didn't believe. Faith doesn't come with seeing Jesus with your physical eye. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Faith is something that the Holy Spirit works in sinners' hearts. In Jesus' days, those who followed him had to believe just as well as we do. And the battle against their faith is just as fierce as it is against ours. Think of Judas. Judas had daily dealings with Jesus, but he didn't believe. Thomas was unstable as sand until Jesus brought him to believe. The requirement that goes with the promise that Jesus is always with us is faith. When you believe that promise, then you experience that Jesus is with you. When you don't believe that promise, you don't experience his presence. It is received by faith, and you cannot feel what you don't believe. Jesus' human nature is in heaven. Jesus' divine nature is everywhere. That's how we understand it. Otherwise, it makes no sense, and the Bible makes it abundantly clear for us. I am with you always. I will send you my Spirit, and he will dwell with you and in you, and he will show you me, Jesus. So now we've answered the question, where did he go? And how do we understand that? How can he be here and there at the same time? And there's one more question. What are the benefits now for believers in the year 2019? Because it's been a long time ago since Jesus ascended into heaven. Let's look at that after we sing 420. When you think of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, what are the benefits for his people, for believers? The first benefit is this, beloved, that he is there representing us, pleading our case. He takes our cause and he presents it before the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is our only high priest. In the Old Testament, the high priest once a year went into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the atonement. And he brought incense before God and he sprinkled blood on the mercy seat. That happened in God's presence in the Holy of Holies. That holy cloud filled that place as a sign of the presence of God. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, after offering himself on the cross, is in the Holy of Holies. That Holy of Holies on earth was made by men, so it was imperfect. But where Jesus entered is the holy heaven. There is no holier place. Our only real holy place in the whole universe is where Jesus is, the dwelling place of the triune holy God. And there, beloved, Jesus appears before God's face as our high priest, who offered himself for his people. And with the incense of his prayers, he is pleading for his people. He prays for his believers with divine love. And he holds before his Father's eyes his pierced hands to remind God how he suffered. He was nailed to the cross and he nailed our sins to the cross. What unspeakable comfort that is for sinners who flee to Christ Jesus. This is what John saw on the island of Patmos in Revelation 8 verse 3. An angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar that was before the throne. That angel was the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. So dear children of God, we need not despair. But let's flee to this one who is our advocate in heaven, who is pleading your case. Our sins make a division between God and us. They stand in the way. They take away our freedom of access to God. They take away our comfort in the gospel. Sin presses us down. But now we hear that our great high priest never forgets us. He speaks for us. He pleads for us, guilty ones. His hands lay our imperfect prayers on the altar and purifies those prayers. Through his intercession, we are strengthened in the battle. He's the one who grants us grace and peace in our souls because we know he's pleading for us. A second benefit of Jesus' ascension into heaven is this, that where he is, we shall be also. Where he is, we shall be also. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of his church. We may even think of him as the commander, the general of the Christian army. And dear believers, we are in the battle. Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, as Paul writes to Timothy. And now we still have our whole armor on. We're still in the middle of the battlefield. We're still members of the church, militant, fighting a heavy battle against sin, a strong enemy that is against us. But we have nothing to fear, because our head, Jesus Christ, is already victorious. And he still leads us from the strongholds of heaven. He leads us as his army, and we shall follow him. He has our human flesh already in his human body. In that human body, he's just like us, except sin. And he's already in glory. in heaven as a sure pledge that we shall arrive there too. And we go there through trials and afflictions. Let us then see our trials and afflictions like the Lord sees them. We often wrongly think that afflictions are against us. But in the Lord's hands, our afflictions are working for us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, our light affliction, that's what it is but for a moment. And it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our Lord Jesus has promised in John 14, verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. What a comfort that affords the children of the Lord. Let us often meditate on our head, the Lord Jesus, because where he is, we shall one day also be. What other benefit is there? Well, he gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us gifts. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. What kind of men? Yes, the rebellious also. You can read that in Psalm 68, verse 18. And if you know yourself, by the light of God's word and the Holy Spirit, you can put your name there. Yes, for this rebel also. And why did he do it? So that the Lord God might dwell among them. And how does the Lord God dwell among his people? He dwells among us with his Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is given to us as a down payment of the full payment. Jesus takes our flesh into heaven and he gives us his Holy Spirit as the guarantee. And that Holy Spirit gives us strength and faith, and he draws believers. He teaches us to seek those things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. And then we know we don't belong here anymore. Our home is above. The Apostle Paul longed to go home. That's what he said. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Don't you think so, dear believers? Wouldn't that be much far better to depart and be with Christ? You see what our problem is? That desire is not always there, is it? We are so hindered by our sins in doing our Christian duty. Think about what it says in Colossians 1 verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, if only it was that way in my life. And yet we don't despair, even if it's not that way in our lives, because our representative is in heaven. And he never forgets his church. He never forsakes his child. Despite all our weaknesses and shortcomings and sins and transgressions, he is still our head. And he sends his Spirit to revive us again and again. And that Spirit comes and he reminds us to set our thoughts on things above, on incorruptible things, where our everlasting inheritance is. It's being preserved there for us by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He sends his Holy Spirit, by whose power alone we seek those things that are above. Colossians 3 verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. If you then be risen with Christ, it's not taken for granted that everyone is, you know. This applies to believers. Not all are risen with Christ. But Paul says to all believers, this is true. You are risen with Christ. And when that is true for you, there are certain actions a believer takes. Certain characteristics a believer has. He seeks those things which are above. This is a command here. Look for those things which are above. What are those things, Paul? Well, he tells us right away, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above. Have this in your mind. Think on those things that are above. Give serious consideration to those things that are above. Let your mind dwell on the things that are above. Fix your attention on what is above, not on things on the earth. That's our trouble, isn't it? It is for me. I keep fixing my mind on things here, on this what is on this earth. And I need to be reminded constantly to set my mind on the things that are above. And the Holy Spirit does that through the preaching of His Word. Keep thinking about the things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Not the things which are on this earth. What will that profit me? One word. The things that are above, Christ Jesus. Set your mind on Him. That's what we do on Ascension Day. May I ask you this evening, dear congregation, are you seeking the things that are above? Are you seeking the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your mind set on Christ Jesus? Because you discover down here, this is all, and so much emptiness down here. It cannot bring me fulfillment. It can't fill that empty place in me. Only Christ can. And when you are seeking the things that are above, then you acknowledge that it is by the Holy Spirit that I have begun to seek the things that are above. I've begun to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm using the means that He has instituted for that end. Specifically His Word and the Holy Sacraments. Are you studying the Word of God at every opportunity? Seeking those things that are above. Oh, let us prioritize our schedule, shall we? And make some choices here. What could possibly be worth giving up for Bible study? Seek those things that are above. You know, on the second Thursday of every month, we have a meeting in this church building. And we seek those things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. And I would challenge you to tell me sometime, what is the most important thing in your life on the second Thursday of every month? How are you seeking the things that are above? During that time, it goes two ways. Paul makes it very clear here. If you think about this on Ascension Day, if you are raised with Christ, and that's a statement about every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are raised with Christ, then seek those things, actively pursue those things that are above. Set your mind on Christ in heaven. Not on the things of this world. Yes, we have to be in the world, but not of the world. Let that not be the most important thing in your life. are, seeking the things that are above. By God's grace, seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, that is only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And thank God for His Holy Spirit on Ascension Day. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord God Almighty, we thank you, Lord, for the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we may know that there is a heaven indeed, and that there is an ascension, that we may know that where He is now, all Thy children shall be one day with Him. That we may know that even now, in the midst of our sins, in the midst of our troubles, so often that we bring on ourselves, we may still know He is pleading our case before God Almighty, presenting again His blood as the one sacrifice for sin, showing the Lord God what He has done for His people. Lord, we pray that we would have a renewed vision for this, and that our faith may be strengthened and confirmed by looking to Christ Jesus, seeking Him who is above at the right hand of God the Father. Bless us, Lord, as a church family, that we may encourage each other with these things. Encouraging one another to seek those things, the most important matters, that the things of this world would not be most important to us. Lord, we are so prone to slam our tent pegs so deep in this world. Cure us from that, we pray. Be with us further tonight. Lord, we pray that we may meditate on the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring us back together again on the Lord's Day. Be with Pastor Overdoon as he will be preaching here Sunday morning, and with me as I preach in Vineland. Lord, grant a rich measure of Thy Spirit in both churches. Keep us from sin. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.